This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. One of the most popular things about the internet is spending hours, days, maybe even years watching videos of animals at play. You know how many videos of animals there are and you have watched? Just amazing. You've got the classic cat playing with a box genre, but you can also watch a dog playing Jenga. Seriously, Google it. And you can type in pretty much any combination of animals and the word playing, and you find adorable little videos like a baby deer roughhousing with a lemur. Incredible stuff out there. Why am I telling you this? Well, because my next guest, a neuroscientist, actually gets inspiration for his work by watching those home videos. Ideas about how to study animals interacting and playing with other animals and humans. And in his latest work out this week in the journal Science, he describes playing hide and seek with rats. Yes, we have that for you. My question for you, our audience, is what games do you play with your pets? And how do you know when your pet is having fun? Here's what you told us on Science Friday Vox Pop app.
So I have a little Boston Terrier named Pablo, and this dog loves fetch. When he sees the ball, his eyes dilate. He's obsessive. Every 10 or 12 throws, I have to hide the ball just so he can catch his breath. And I'm assuming he's having fun while doing it, because as long as you're willing to keep throwing the ball, he's willing to fetch it.
When I do a partial water change in my aquarium, the Harlequin rasboras, there are three of them, will swim alternately up into the stream, going against the current of the incoming water, and then they'll stop and get washed back down into the tank, and then they'll come back up again kind of in rotation. It sure does look like they're playing.
I have fun with my cat when she brings me toys and looks at me like she really, really wants me to throw them, and I throw them and she gets all excited and bolts after it. Like, well, we call her NASCAT, as in NASCAR, NASCAT.
That's good. Sound familiar to you? Do you play with your pets? So that was Kevin from Nevada, Steve from Pennsylvania, Tamara from Colorado. Tell us your stories. Science Friday, Vox Pop app, or give us a call, 844-724-8255, 844-724-8255, or you can tweet us at SciFry. Juan Ignacio Nacho Sanguinetti is a neuroscientist at the Humboldt University of Berlin and one of the authors on that research published in Science. And we have a link to that and videos. You want to see the video, Rat Hide and Seek, and what animals are playing? Well, it's up there on our website, sciencefriday.com/animalgames, sciencefriday.com/animalgames. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Sanguinetti.
Thank you, Ira. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Were you really inspired to study animal play by the videos on the internet?
Well, so in the lab, we've been looking into play behavior for a couple of years. A few years ago, our lab published a research about tickling rats and how rats vocalize and create these joy laughters when they are tickled by a human experimenter. So we've been looking for different ways of study play behavior in animals. And it is true that anybody who's had a pet before knows that you can play different things with your animals. As some of your audience has described, fetch is a classic game you play with a dog. And if you teach a dog how to play fetch, then you'll need to hide from him because he will come with the ball to you, like, all the time. So we've been looking into different plays, and luckily YouTube is a treasure trove of animal behavior. The fact that anybody has a cell phone and a camera in their cell phone allows us to see so many different animals and so many different animal behaviors just by going into YouTube, you know?
Mm-hmm. I want to get right to the rats playing the game. You mentioned that you could tickle them, they make certain sounds. We have a sample of these sounds modified so humans can hear them. Wow. What was that, Dr. Sanguinetti? What were we hearing there?
That is a rat being tickled and having these joy vocalizations, which are these vocalizations in the ultrasound range, so humans can hear them, and that are associated with positive emotions, with playful behaviors and playful encounter between rats. And that was part of the things that we found in our study when we tried to put now rats to play a more sophisticated form of play, the game known as Hide and Seek, a very old game, a game that is shared by many different cultures in the world.
You know, I didn't really, until I looked at the video, it's up on our website at sciencefriday.com/animalgames. I could not believe that you or anybody could play hide and seek with a rat until I saw this. How, it's amazing. How did you get the rat to learn how to play this?
So the first thing to point out is that you cannot grab any random rat in the lab and teach it how to play hide and seek. As you know, like, all dogs don't learn new tricks. So you have to use rats that are very young, for example, because we know that play is something that animals do more when they're young and do less when they are adults, right? So the first thing you need to do is to really habituate the rat both to the experimenter and to the room where it's going to play. And then slowly but surely, you can teach the rat how to play the game. For example, in the game of Seek, what we did, we had a starting box where the animal was placed to start the game. And then what Annika Reinhold, who was a master student running these experiments, did, she would get far away from the rat, and then the rat would come close, and whenever the rat came close, she would tickle the rat and play with the rat and made the rat chase around her hand, and in some way giving the rat a social reward. And then what she would do was to increase slowly the complexity and start hiding better and better from the rat until the point where we were able to close the starting box and then open the box remotely, and the rat would have to search in this 30 square meter room for Annika.
So the reward for the rat is not a pellet of food, it's getting tickled?
Yes, exactly. There is no food reward, no water reward. It's just the social interaction with the experimenter. And we know that social interaction is a very rewarding thing. Like when you deal with children, they like to be cuddled, they like to be played with. So this is the same for our pets and for our rats in our study.
And so that's what you're really studying then, is the social interaction feature. What do we learn about humans from that?
Well, it's very important to study social interactions. We're still trying to figure out the social brain and how the brain conducts social interactions between animals. So the play is one critical example of a type of interaction. There is this thing called social play, when an animal plays with another animal. And from studying these kind of things, we will get closer to understanding social interactions in humans and how the brain controls social interactions in humans. And humans are an incredible case of social interaction. They are basically a species that has mm-hmm. this incredible social network, right? We've evolved to have like these big families, these big groups, and to have this big social networks around us. So to navigate those social networks, we need a brain that allows us to go from one place to another and to understand the people around us and how they behave, what the other people can do and what you can do with them. So this is a very important topic to understand our brain and how our brain evolved.
Mm-hmm. A lot of reaction from asking people how they play with their animals. I have a Claire who writes, I play find it with my doggos. You hide the treats throughout the house while they wait in the bathroom. Afterwards, you let them out and say, find it. They then search, sniff for the treats. We had to be more obvious with the treats after we got a beagle to give the lab a chance. So we had a couple of dogs. Let me go for a reaction to Melissa in State College, PA. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Ira. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. I was saying earlier that my definition of play for an animal is when they initiate it, then you know they're into it, or when they return to it voluntarily, like a dog bringing you a ball is saying, play with me now. That's not very ambiguous. Or when you're playing tug of war, the animal will tug if you let go and they hand it back to you. So that's one, those are two clues. And the other is the body tension. If it's a stiff tension and they're defensive, they're not having fun. But if it's a bouncy tension, they're full of bounce, then I think they're playing.
Yeah, I've seen that with dogs I play with also. It's the same kind of thing. You can really tell one when an animal is playing, can't you?
Yeah, I think those things that the audience member mentioned are critical things. For example, we know that rats, when they are in this playful state, she said something about this bouncy nature. So we described a type of behavior that rats do when they're playing that is called in German Freudensprung, which is translates into joy jumps, which is the rats are jumping in place, basically like with their four legs. So this is one kind of way to tell when the animal has some positive response. The other thing that the audience member mentioned, which is very interesting, is the willingness to continue the game, to continue playing. And that is something that we found in our paper, that is that we found that rats not only cared about the social reward at the end of the game, but that sometimes they would even try to evade this reward so that they could continue playing. So sometimes if the rat was hiding and the experimenter would find the rat and would try to introduce this social reward, the rat would leave and hide somewhere else again. So they would really try to extend the game.
Did you ever try to trick the rat, like play a joke on the rat?
No. So that is something that I've been thinking about for many years since I'm also an amateur improviser and comedian, but is how to try to surprise a rat into something that would be funny. So I've been thinking like very unprofessionally, but yeah. Many years well,
you
about
could you could share how with to, us. It's okay.
So my idea of a joke for a rat is that so you train the rat to always run a maze, a normal maze, where the objective is to find cheese, let's say, right? So then you train the rat, and the rat is focused. It gets into the maze. It smells cheese and tries to find it, and then again and again and again, until at some point, what you do is you do the same thing, but then suddenly all the walls are made out of cheese. So then I imagine myself in the position of the rat just running around, like trying to find the cheese. And then that moment when you realize, you know, that eureka moment, like, so that's what I envision myself. But this is, of course, just my fantasy into one day trying to understand some of the basis of humor and surprise.
Well, you say you're into the theater, you're into doing improv. Do you think you could have an act with your rat on stage? You know, doing hide and seek? People would love to see that, I'll bet you.
No, but I'm going to tell you something. I know some improvisers in New York that have shows for dogs. So they pretend to be dogs, and dogs are the audience. So it's not that far away that you could try to do performance with animals themselves. It's a very interesting topic because how one plays a role and how animals play roles in their natural lives in the animal kingdom, whether they're in the role of a prey or a predator accidentally, or if they're in other kind of social situations that there is a relationship of status and hierarchy. These are very interesting questions that neuroscience is starting to tackle.
You're about 30 years too late for Ed Sullivan. You could have done it. I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday and from WNYC Studios. You know, it was an old. You have to be of a certain age to remember Ed Sullivan show.
I got it. I didn't know if I was allowed to laugh.
Oh, wait. I never laugh on this show. You'll notice. So where do you go from here? What else can you do? Do you want to teach the rat to do other things or another game or something else to further study it? Or you just keep following this maze, so to speak?
So there are several things. The first thing that we like to point out is that we think this paradigm of playing with the rats and playing hide and seek with the rats allows us to probe some of the rats' cognitive capabilities. Like, we want to figure out, like, when the rat is making decisions and when the rat is choosing to hide in a certain location or in another location, or, for example, where is the rat choosing to search for the experimenter. So these are very interesting. It's a very interesting paradigm to tackle questions like decision making, motivation, when is the rat motivated truly to play, for example. So that on one hand, and on the other hand, of course, we're still looking for inspiration and games to try to teach animals to use those games as a way to in a very naturalistic way, probe for understanding the brain at play.
Right. Well, you know, we've talked a lot about birds recently and how intelligent birds are. I have a tweet coming from Skip, who says, I lived for a time with a crow named Hugin. If I was on the phone too long, she would go to the modular plug at the baseboard and unplug the phone. Now, birds would seem, we've talked about birds recently, how smart they are. You say you're looking for other animals to play with? How about a bird? Think about working with birds.
Crows are also known to play. In fact, I will challenge the audience to go to YouTube and try to find videos of crows playing in the snow. There are some videos where crows use the snow on a windshield of a car to slide down, and then they would just go up and slide down again. And they also use roofs for things like this. So crows are very interesting animals indeed. Yeah.
But you're sticking with your rats for now. Or are you branching out?
We will see. We will see. I still have to decide what my future holds in neuroscience. I just finished my PhD here, and I'm trying to find new topics. So I'm very excited about that.
Oh, so improv is not a day job yet. I mean, I can't fall back
on
your improv career.
No. I have a serious science career with a side of improv addiction.
But does it it must help you think creatively, I would think, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's a very creative endeavor, and I treat it in some ways in a very similar way as I do all my other work, because I do take it seriously and I think it's incredibly interesting, and it's a very, very interesting way of also figuring out things about the brain, I think. Yeah. Because it's in a way the social brain, the human brain gone wild. It's taking all the skills that we have to navigate social situations and using them in make-believe social situations. And starting in a set from nothing and just looking at your partner and going into a story is unbelievable. And
well,
humans can do that.
Yes, we wish you great luck, Dr. Sanguinetti. Juan Ignacio Nacho Sanguinetti, neuroscientist at the Humboldt University of Berlin. Thanks for joining us. We have a link to his paper, and I'll tell you the video, The Rats Playing Hide and Seek, will make your day. ScienceFriday.com/animalgames. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after this break.